Hi, this is Melanie Cole. On this episode of Healthy Children, we cover two topics with Dr. David Hill. First, what your child's coach should know to keep them safe, and then we'll also talk about teaching good sportsmanship to your children.
Healthy Children with the American Academy of Pediatrics on Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Here's Melanie Cole.
You do trust your children's care to the coaches when they engage in team sports, but there are some volunteers, youth coaches and such, that are not trained in CPR and concussion recognition, in some of these things that even sports injuries that you want them to recognize. You can't be at every practice and you necessarily can't be at every game. So what is it that you are supposed to trust the coaches to know? My guest today, Dr. David Hill, Vice President of Cape Fear Pediatrics and the Adjunct Assistant Professor of Pediatrics at the UNC Medical School. Dr. Hill, welcome to the show. We always love to have you on. And I was telling you a story off air about my daughter and the buddy system because I have taught her over the years to recognize symptoms of concussion, which she did, and saved this child from something that was potentially very bad. So do we trust the coaches? Do we teach our children? What do we do?
You know, I encourage all of my parents to talk with their coaches. When we do a sports physical or I just do a social history and find out the kid's doing a sport that may be at risk for concussion, I always remind them, check with your coach if you're lucky enough that you have a trainer on the team. Talk to them and just make sure they have a policy. In our state of North Carolina, as in many states, there's now a state law that says at least school coaches have to have some concussion training, some concussion policy available and on hand, and yet, as with all things, it varies how well-trained people are and how well they respond. I've got an 11-year-old doing travel soccer right now, and soccer seems so much safer than a full contact sport like football, but in fact, soccer is a pretty rough sport. There are a lot of injuries. It's not that far behind football. In fact, girls' soccer has a concussion rate that's comparable to boys' football. So it's
plus
really
they get ACL injuries in girls' soccer.
Yeah,
and
right.
Now different, Dr. Hill. There's sports injuries, right? There's first aid. Yes. There's sudden cardiac death. There's all these horrible things, and there's concussion. Now,
right.
Some of those things, like the sports injuries, a girl tears an ACL, she knows it, and she's lying on the ground, and she's in pain.
Oh, yeah.
Or maybe not. She limps off the field. She's not going right back on. But some of these other ones you're discussing are not as obvious.
Right. And that's where the concussion specifically, a lot of people still think you can shake it off. And we know from studies of high school football players, they're reluctant to report. They want to stay in the game. These are really dedicated athletes. They feel loyalty to their team. Sometimes they feel like there are, scholarships at stake. And so that's why some sort of testing, like the SCAT form at the field side, there's even some studies on an even shorter field side concussion card screening. But some sort of objective screening is really useful for the team, the trainer, parent volunteer. My kid's travel soccer team doesn't have really a trainer, so as the pediatrician, I just kind of stand at the field and wait for somebody to have trouble, and then sometimes I just kind of wander across and see how they're doing over there. But I've had kids from our team and opposing teams whose parents did not really understand how serious their injury was and have had to say, your kid's dizzy, they want to go to sleep, but I think you really do need to get them to an emergency room right now. So it varies, and finding out what your mechanism is for your student, your athlete, is always a good idea.
Well, I think so, too. And I was very proud of my daughter that day because the buddy system is one way, right? Especially where concussion is concerned. The buddy system, getting other team members to recognize, and like you say, they're hesitant to report.
Yeah.
They don't want to miss. They don't want to. And this little girl that she was talking to said, no, let's go back in and do stuff. And my daughter, Cece, was like, no, sit down. Tell me where you are. Tell me, how did we get here? Tell me what's 5 + 4. She asked her a bunch of questions the girl could not answer. It was so good, and that's when she called me and the father, and he went right and picked her up. But he didn't even recognize the stuff. So buddy system is one way. Parent involvement, as you say, is another way. So what else do you want parents to know, and what tools should they have on hand? What do you think about having a defibrillator and, you know, milk for tooth that they lose? And, you know, what do you want people to have on hand?
It could be quite a kit if you're going to put it together and do it right. An automatic electronic defibrillator is a really good idea. Not all teams or schools have the funds for these. They can run a couple of $1,000. You can get reconditioned ones that are less. However, they can allow you to address a cardiac emergency very quickly. And a lot, we try to screen kids before they play for cardiac issues, but not everybody is screenable. There are issues like Wolff-Parkinson-White or prolonged QT, for example, or some undetected heart defects, holes between the chambers, that exams don't always pick up and history doesn't always pick up. And so having equipment on site, like an automatic defibrillator, can be very helpful, because no matter how careful you are, no matter how good the doctor is, how good the coach is, these things crop up, and they crop up with no warning. Backboards, neck braces, also a really good idea, especially appropriate for the size of the child. If all you've got on hand is an adult neck brace and you've got 6-year-olds or 8-year-olds playing, it's quite possible that that brace is not going to be adequate. So not only do you need to have the equipment, but it needs to be the right size equipment. Some communities, you know, depending on the resources in your community, you might ask if even their emergency response services are fully equipped for children. Everybody usually has what they need for adults, but kids need special stuff. And it can be hard to purchase and stock all the right sizes that are necessary. So it's not bad if you have an interest in this. Get involved in your community. Ask around. You know, just wander by your local EMS station. Ask, hey, can we help you raise money? Can we help, you know, talk to the politicians locally? Make sure the city council or county commission gets you what you need so that you can take care of our kids when they get hurt.
So how involved do you want a parent to be? Dr. Hill, you're a pediatrician, and you work with teams, and you do. Now, I'm an exercise physiologist, so yes, when the coaches see me coming, they run for the hills. They don't like a mother like me that knows some sports medicine and also, you know, is a mother. So right. They don't like that at all. But how involved do you want parents to be to encourage their children to avoid injuries? I mean, because then we're helicopter parenting and you have a lot of kids. So, I mean, you know what this is like. Or are we helping our children avoid these injuries that are going to cost us money at the emergency room?
Right. You know, I think the place to start is just to have a polite and respectful conversation with the coaches if you see things that are disturbing to you. There's one team that we play in travel soccer, and I heard a rumor from a parent that another team threw the game against them because they had seen them cause and sustain so many injuries in the previous game. If you think that is your kid's coach and everybody is limping off the field, it's probably time to have a little, just pull aside and say, hey, you know, I noticed we got a lot of injuries. What do you think is contributing to that? How would you maybe see that that doesn't happen next time? And sometimes those are pleasant conversations. Sometimes you need to talk to people higher up in whatever sports establishment, whether, you know, if it's the schools, maybe it's the principal or the board of ed. If it's like we have a private league, maybe go up in the league and say, you know, does this seem like an outlier? Is this team sustaining more injuries than you think would be normal for a season, and why do you think that is? So I like starting conversations with questions. I also,
now we only have 30 seconds, Dr. Hill.
Yeah, and sometimes you got to advocate for your kid and say, this kid's hurt, we're not putting him back in the game. Or, you know, be sure and let me or the coach know. And all of us is trying to sustain that balance between helicopter parenting and wrapping our kids in bubble wrap and letting bad things happen to them. And that's always a balancing act.
Dr. Hill, great advice as always. Hang on, more coming up with Dr. Hill as we talk about good sportsmanship in youth athletics. This time of year, it's hard to avoid getting sick, whether it's a common cold or the stomach bug. It's crucial to stay well hydrated. Hydrolyte is a great-tasting clinical hydration product that contains the correct balance of sodium, glucose, and water to rapidly replace fluids and electrolytes. Hydrolite comes in great flavors like orange, berry, lemonade, and is available as a pre-mixed drink, a powder, or effervescent tablets that you can simply drop into a glass or a bottle of water. Compared to sports drinks, Hydrolite delivers up to 4 times the electrolytes with 75% less sugar. Hydrolite solutions are appropriate for all ages, and each bottle or package includes easy-to-follow dosing instructions. You can find Hydrolite in the digestive aisle at Rite Aid or online at Amazon.com. Visit Hydrolite.com/podcasts to save 30% on Amazon with promo code HydraKid. That's Hydrolite.com/podcasts to save 30% on Amazon with promo code HydraKid. So, Dr. Hill, let's talk about sportsmanship. Do you teach it to your child? Leave it up to the coaches or someone else? What are we supposed to do as parents?
You know, I think in terms of teaching it to our kids, number one is setting an example, right? They're going to do what we do. So if you want your kid to learn sportsmanship and you are screaming that the coaches are blind from the side of the field, I think you can have our time with that, right? You know, they're looking at you to see how you're behaving. We were talking earlier about my son's travel soccer team, which is my main sports experience at this moment. And we had one of the refs come over at a travel game and say, "Hey, guys, I just want to make sure you guys know we keep it positive here, okay? Everybody, I don't want to hear any negative. I don't want to hear any screaming, no cursing. Just keep it positive." I was looking around at the other parents on our team and going, Do people do that?
Oh, they do.
That's not how we roll, you know? But then there's the one dad. He's got to come out of the woodworks now. He's like, "Offsides!" And like, you know, the ref actually came over and explained why he didn't call an offsides to our side of the field. I was very embarrassed. I think we're all hanging our heads. So number one, you got to set an example. If you want your child to have good sportsmanship, it starts with you, right? Number two, I think it's very dicey what to parent and how to let the coach coach. And I've seen some really nice, I don't know if there's scientific literature on this, but I've seen some lovely discussions online of this problem saying, you know, as long as you got a good coach, or even if not, be the parent. Your kid needs your congratulations or your hugs at the end of the game. They don't need you telling them how to swing the bat or how to kick the ball or how to improve their stroke. They have a coach for that. Be the parent. Ask them if they enjoyed the game. Did you have a good time? Did you learn something new? You know, what did you like about it? And for the most part, let the coach coach, right? If you have a concern, go talk to the coach about it and say, you know, I used to play baseball and I noticed that, you know, Johnny's swing could be a little more forceful. What do you think if we change his split position? How are you guys working on that? And then let the coach do it. Because after a bad game, they may just want a hug. They may not want to get in the car and drive an hour and a half back to wherever you came from, worrying that you're disappointed in
that
them.
you're gonna get on them. And I've seen so many parents just on the walk back to the car go, you know, I was wondering why you didn't run faster, or why didn't you catch that ball? I was right there, and we've practiced those things so many times. And you see that in the kids just kind of walking. And kids with good self-esteem are kind of like, whatever, so I didn't catch the ball. But then see other kids kind of hang dog their head and go, oh, you know. So sportsmanship does start.
Yeah, they know it. They know they had a bad game already. So, you know, let them work on that. You're there for a hug and a shoulder, and, you know, you can ask, what do you want to work on this week, okay? But beyond that, let the coach coach. You parent.
Well, that's right. And we've all seen, as you say, those parents that stand on the side and say, why'd you take my kid out? Or why isn't he, you know, still pitching? Or why isn't he, you know, and you do. I actually am that parent that has said, hey, will you just sit down and let these kids play?
Yeah.
And then gotten in trouble for that, because then the parent yells at me. But, you know, I think it's terrible when you see that. So give some more advice on what you want parents and coaches to do to encourage sportsmanship. So parents, it starts with us. Did you have fun? What do you want the coaches to do?
You know, I think if you feel like your coach is deriding the kids, there's a line between helping kids get better, letting them know what they need to do. I was a Taekwondo instructor for a while, and my kids went through the instructor program as well. And one of the things that we worked on at Taekwondo was how to instruct other kids and other adults at the classes, you know, lower belts. And part of the rule was, you know, tell them what they're doing good, tell them what they can do better, and leave it at that. You know, that was a really nice high kick. Now, if you'll just get your head around and look at your opponent before you throw that kick, your aim is going to be even better, right? Let's see that next time. You can put all these things in very positive ways. And that's what these kids deserve. They're kids we're talking about, right? And do they need to get better? Yeah, that's what they're out there for. They're out there to learn. They're out there to improve. But do they get better when you just tell them how lousy they are? No, they get better when you say, I like the way you run, but you need to run a little farther. Maybe you can run a little faster. Maybe you can kick it up a little bit next time. This can all be positive. It doesn't need to be, you know, if somebody's coming off the field crying because of something that was said to them, you know, you got to ask, could that have been better?
Okay, so Dr. Hill, here's something that happened to us recently, and my daughter's now on softball, and this coach was not being mean to the girls, because there is that fine line, as you say, between a coach coaching, right, and the girls would stop halfway to first base to see if the ball that they just hit was caught, and he goes, run! Run! Stop! Why are you not running? Run to first base! And a few of the girls, because he said, why are you not running, came off the field crying their eyes out. And right, one of them I joked with, I said, there's no crying in softball. You know, I made some little joke to laugh. The parents all laughed, but the kid didn't get it. And so they were like, I'm just not used to his coaching style. But are we over, you know, petting these kids? Are we, I mean, because there are coaches, Dr. Hill, that do a little screaming in the face. And this guy was not doing that. And so sportsmanship can be both ways. It can be, yes, you have to learn how to take one for the team. And yes, you want to learn that it's fun and yippee.
Yeah. You know, I think that's a very good point. And you ask, what is the impact? Is my kid still enjoying this or do they hate it? If they hate it, you got to ask what's going on. If they enjoy it, okay, this is working. I think one really critical skill is self-calming. I watch this with my son who plays goalie, and goalie, man, for a parent, that's tough because everybody sees what the goalie does. It's not like nobody is watching. By the time the ball gets to the goal, everybody is paying attention. If it goes badly, everybody, like, groans at the same time. And then, you know, he kicks the goal post and yells at the defenders, why weren't you there? He comes off the field. This is the one thing that I will say. I'm like, you know, some self-calming skills might be really helpful here. And that's when you can work on something like meditation, mindfulness, just breathing. One of the things they're out there to learn is that every point is a point. That goal, that home run, okay, it's done, it's over. If you keep going, oh my gosh, we screwed that up, I'm so horrible, then the next one's coming through. And part of what they're learning out there is how to self-calm, how to self-regulate, and say, okay, that wasn't the play I wanted to see, and now we're in the middle of another play, so let's play that one.
Okay, so wrap it up for us about sportsmanship. We have about 30 seconds because this is such a great topic, and you're such a great speaker. So wrap it up for us, Dr.
Well, I think it starts with you, right? It starts with the example that you're going to set. Are you going to be positive? Are you going to, when the opposite team's goalie makes a good save, are you going to say, good job, keep? You know, you're appreciating great athletic performance, even when it's against your team. So show them what it looks like, and then when the game is over, be the parent. If you don't like the way the coach is coaching, bring that up with the coach. But let the coach be the coach. You be the parent. And then the kid can be the kid.
Dr. Hill, great advice as always. You're such a fan favorite here on Healthy Children. Thank you for your time today. And once again, thanks to That's It Veggie Bars for sponsoring today's episode. Make sure to head to thatsitfruit.com and enter code HEALTHYCHILDREN to save 10% off on any order today. They're only available online right now, but keep an eye out for them soon at your favorite local retailers. Once again, that's itfruit.com with promo code HEALTHYCHILDREN to save 10% on any order today.